Okay, welcome back to part two of this first episode for the Data Science and Machine Learning in Oil and Gas podcast, where we are joined by our guest, Vincent Lemoine. So for the second part, I'd like to drill into the oil and gas part, no pun intended. And for that, I think I'd like to just start by, so of course I'm new to the oil and gas industry, very new.
Most data scientists are.
So here's my thought of kind of the general oil and gas industry, and then maybe you can come in and help fill in the cracks here. So it seems like it works pretty much as follows. Step one, you have to go exploration. So you're going to do some kind of surveying with different tools that you have available, like sound waves and things like that, or drilling wells or whatever. And you're going to go explore, see if you can go out and find oil, which of course there's going to be some for sure data science that you can use there. The second step would be basically going into the ground and actually extracting the oil or whatever it is that you're getting for your energy source, and then maybe transporting it, moving it around a little bit, and then at that point probably selling it off somewhere to be used. So does that sound about right? Yeah. And then we'll go into maybe how data science fits into each.
So again, like you mentioned, you're new. Most data scientists are new to oil and gas. I myself have only been almost 4 years in oil and gas. So, and this is my first role, been a data scientist but my first role in oil and gas. And just basically super high level is usually when an oil and gas company starts, and this kind of mimics exactly what you said, the first president is usually a geo kind of person. In other words, wants to go find the oil, do your exploration.
What's a geo?
A geoscientist. Sorry, excuse me. Geoscientist. And that's like a big catch-all for geologists, geophysicists, petrophysicists, all these things that have to do with, you know, the rock. And then once they find it, then your engineers come in and they get it out of the ground. So you have the drilling component. So you first, like you said, the exploration, you got to find it. That's all your seismic imaging, or you pair up with engineers and you drill test holes and all this kind of stuff. So there's a lot. I'm not too familiar with the exploration part myself. I'm more on the engineering side, the petroleum engineering side. And so then you got to extract it out of the ground. And that's first you got to get in there, and that's where you're drilling. You drill the well, you have drilling engineers for that. And then recently, it's, we call it completions, but there's fracking, and that's to help bring artificial fracks to what's naturally occurring. Naturally occurring fracks are called faults, and then you have to extract it out of the ground. So then once the well comes online, that's your production, and then you got to take it out of there. You have to process it, transport it. So all your exploration and your drilling and everything, once you get it out of the ground and then into a processing facility, there's really tanks. You got to store them in tanks. You got to separate the water and the oil and the gas. That's all we call upstream. That's all the big part. Then the midstream is just the transportation. That's all your pipelines and all that stuff. And then downstream, or what usually people call like your fuels, lubricants, and stuff like that. That's your finished products. Mm-hmm. And that's where you go off. That's what you see in like bottles, in cars, mm-hmm. Hand gels, or all that kind of stuff. But as far as what we do with our company, Anadarko is a exploration and production company, EMP. We are all upstream.
What's the M?
ENP. Sorry. Okay. That Southern accent. It just runs together. ENP.
Okay.
And so once we have the product, whether it's oil or it's natural gas in some form, it goes to sales, and that's determined by the price of crude, the price of the gas. So we don't mm-hmm. determine that price. All that we can control is the cost. So a lot of your oil and gas, they just try to reduce cost. How can we get the most production, the most recovery at the lowest cost. And so you can see as things have progressed, technology's gone on, that's where data science comes in. Data science helps. How can we do better at processing that image? How can we do better at optimizing our engineering operations to reduce costs, to get it out of the ground and off to sales?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like in general, the more and more oil you get out of the ground, the harder it is to get more, because usually like the easier spots maybe are going to go first, and then you're going to have to go to like the harder spots after that. And then, yeah, so would some of these techniques maybe help to like alleviate that?
Sounds like a thing. So this is an interesting thought. And then we can break this down even further. Onshore and offshore, and they're essentially two different animals. And then offshore, you have the big mother of it is the deep water, this deep water stuff. So basically it all comes down to, we talk about the basin, and that's what's under the earth. You know, it's under the, you're down many, many thousands of feet, a couple miles, or if you're offshore, you're down multiple miles. And it's all about the pressure. So what happens is, you know, as stuff happens over millenniums or, you know, thousands of years, centuries, all that, everything turns into your hydrocarbons. And as it keeps going on, it turns into natural gas and all that. And so it's the way you model it. So let's just take onshore, for instance. What you're looking at is what they call like reserves or reservoirs. And in onshore, the rock is, it's really funny. It's not like it's like a pond or a river or a big lake of oil just sitting there and you just punch a straw through and then you can automatically pull it out. The molecules are so small and they're highly integrated in the rock. It's a matter of taking things from high pressure up to surface with as much lower pressure. So initially, when you start production, if you have big reserves, as we call it, or you have large deposits of these fluids, you know, oil and gas is a fluid, it's going to move away from the solid state that's causing the solids in there, that's your rock, that has all that pressure that's keeping it compressed, and it's going to want to naturally flow to less pressure, lower pressure. So that's where your initial production comes on. So when you do drill a well, or really what we do is we try to tap into a reservoir and you put multiple wells. The first well is going to give you the best return. And as you drill what we call like child wells, so the first one's like a parent. If you put wells next to it to kind of tap into the same reservoir, the same neighborhood all surrounding, then you will see a little bit less of returns. But the whole thing is to deplete. That sounds like a negative word, deplete. The whole thing is to recover. Let's use the word recover. It's you try to recover as much oil as you can. So like I said, all we can do is control the cost.
Yeah.
And we try to use our engineering expertise, our data analytics, our geological, geoscience expertise to get as much recovery out of the ground. So it's one of those things, you know, the product that we're selling is oil and gas. And so find the oil, recover as much as you can out of the ground, because there will always be some left over, and drive the cost down with your well cost and your operation cost and your facility cost and all that stuff.
It's mostly step one, let's say, go find it, explore. Step two, get it out of the ground. And then let's say maybe step three, transport it around, step four, sell, something like that. So out of those four, to me, it seems like step one and two are going to have the most data science machine learning application. Is that fair? Would you say that's fair to say?
Yeah, I would say so. And I've had a little bit of experience in most of those. Not so much on the exploration part. However, I've seen and I've worked with a lot of my friends do that kind of work. That to me is what, that's where a lot of our deep learning comes in. So your seismic data is Now you're talking about big data, if you will. Another yeah, buzzword. Yeah. Big data is still relative.
Do you want to just talk about seismic data just a little, what it is and how it works?
Yeah, so seismic data is essentially just like it's trying to use acoustics to map, to convert into images. So kind of like how bats and navigate. Mm-hmm. So you send out signals and, you know, it used to be kind of, I don't remember how it used to be before there was even cars and stuff like that. But, you know, a lot of times now they'll send off, again, I'm not an expert on this, but if they're interested in a certain area collecting seismic.
Like a truck that will come and.
Well, they'll have trucks or they'll set off charges. But the main thing is they'll put sensors all over. And so that they're, again, there's special engineers or in seismic engineers and all these kind of people. There's companies that specialize in this. We don't do it ourselves. We contract that out. And so they will send in a way, one way or another, send sounds down. And because of the rock property and because of just, you know, sound is reflective. It can bounce. The way it passes, it can slow down. And so you know your signal that you're sending in and then you receive it. So you have to make sure you're set up to the receivers enough. And then you have to convert it back. So again, I'm not familiar. I haven't had any experience with that. But essentially, all you're doing is shooting a signal down into the ground, having it bounce back. And it's not all going to bounce back at the same time. So hopefully what you'll hit is some good stuff, you know, and when it comes back, it'll reflect back, and then you have to interpret it. And so lots of people involved with that, lots of math involved with that. And so, you know, you can kind of think too, I think there's like partial differential equations and all this kind of cool stuff involved, you know, in signal processing as well. And so it's pretty dang cool. But yeah, you're converting sound into data and kind of converting that into
a map of a the map. Earth, basically. So, okay. And so then that's one piece of the exploration. So let's say with the drilling piece, where would, what would be, I'm sure there's, just a ton of different applications of different problems.
And so things. even before that, so like I said, a lot of times we don't get we don't do the seismic ourselves. We have other companies do that. So service companies will offer that, and it's expensive. Don't get me wrong, but the interpretation is super difficult as well. So there's a lot that goes in that So the interpretation itself is big, and we have data scientists in our company now working on that interpretation. So let's say you get an image back, and you want to find faults. So let's say we're trying to map a shell, S-H-A-L-E. That's what we're currently working on in that kind of rock. S-H-A-L-E. Okay. With the Texas accent.
Okay, I was just wondering.
With the Texas accent, it's like the shale.
Okay.
So, but let's say, and I'll get to your drilling question in a second. You want to interpret, but there's not an uncountable number of faults in there, but there are a whole bunch of them. So let's say you have this big image of the size of, I don't know, let's say Colorado. That's a little extreme, but let's say you got something that big and you want to find all the faults at a certain depth a certain range of depths and you want to find it and you want to be able to circle them. It's going to be really hard to do that. It would take many people to do that, and they would spend their entire life doing that. So instead, I'm kind of oversimple, you know, exaggerating maybe a little bit, but to do that instead, you can take like a data scientist, someone who knows, and I'll start with some deep learning, maybe a CNN or something, and use like supervised learning, if you will.
Yeah.
So you have your experts, your subject matter experts, take a small section and point out these are faults, and then you start training your machine. You start training your model. And now, of course, with that much data, you're going to need multiple, and you're going to run on GPUs, but you're going to need multiple GPUs, multiple threads. And I mean, it's going to be a huge, huge deal. And so you have to have the hardware, and you have to have all the people to help you support that hardware. But anyway, But then once you, let's go back to the drilling part now.
Sure,
so
yeah.
So the seismic itself is what do you do with that data? Yeah. That's something that a company like us does. And that's one of the reasons why I guess the advanced analytics marine technology team was done, to kind of bring these data scientists, these subject matter experts together in order to work these kind of problems. But then now let's go into, once you find an area where you want to start drilling.
Yeah.
And so, drilling itself is a little different than, I mean, there's tons of different parts of petroleum engineering and geology, geoscience, but drilling engineers, essentially, it's a big mechanic, it's a machine. I mean, it's nothing. It's like orthopedic surgery. I mean, you just got to get in there and you just like bust up some rock, you know, there's nothing pretty about it. So you come in, you have this big pieces, you know, these big rigs, you set up over where you want and you start drilling. Then you got to put pipe in there. We call it casing. And then you got to, you keep going. And so depending on your well design and how you're doing it, you might have different kind of casing. So you think of like fitting pipe inside a pipe for well stability. Meanwhile, you got to make sure that you're doing you're following all government regulations and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Because you got to keep everything inside the pipe. Mm-hmm. And what's really cool is then we practice in onshore, in U.S. onshore, and really in kind of onshore is we call it unconventional wells is what we drill. So, or you'll hear the term horizontal wells. And so unconventional is a combination of taking a well, which traditionally was just vertical, just drill straight down or maybe at a little bit of an angle. But now we take directional drilling, so we can take a directional drill bit, and we can turn it. And so we can come down and then you can turn that sucker 90 degrees, not all at one time. Mm-hmm. And then you're off and you're drilling your lateral. So it gives you more surface area in that target mm-hmm. to tap into. And then the rest of the unconventional is after you drilled the well, then you got to pump fluid down there, which is a mixture of we call it slang for salt, for water and sand. But it's some kind of fluid mixture. You do have like water, you have other kind of gels and stuff like that to help out. And the sand is really a proppant and there's special kind of properties on that, but sometimes it's just sand. And the whole point of that is to expand the little fractures. And so those are called like little faults or something, but to expand the little faults in the rock and let it open up so we can hopefully recover more oil. But it's pretty cool. So you drill your well, and then you got to blow holes in your well so you can pump the fluid out. So you can see there's a lot of engineering that goes on. So you're dealing with the mechanics of just drilling. You're dealing with the fluid properties. One thing that we've done too is we've never been able, and I say the industry has really never been able to see what happens when we complete a well, when we're pumping that fluid down there. We don't have eyes. So recently, we've ran some fiber optics in there, and that's it's based on, if I remember correctly, it's like changes in conditions down there. It's not optical. Mm-hmm. It's just change. So it's measuring this. So again, kind of like the seismic, we can come back and reinterpret that, and we're seeing how much, where is the fluid going? Is it actually going out to where we think it is or not? But as far as the data science goes, I'm kind of all over the place, so feel
great.
Free.
It's great.
But
it's
with
great.
So
kind of similar to the application that we were talking about with exploration. Yeah, so I'm sure there's a ton of different.
With the drilling, we have sensors on our drill bits, so we're getting real time data, and it's high frequency. It's like every millisecond or something like that. It's super high, and we can track to see how we're doing with that, and you can. Again, there's lots of things that involve with best drilling practices. Do I keep drilling? Do I keep pushing? Or is that drill bit wearing out? Do I need to pull it out of the hole? So now I have to create a model on how that drill bit is performing. And it all ties back into economics, right? Uh-huh. So does it make sense? Is it more economical? In other words, is it more cost effective to pull that drill bit back out, change it out, because there's time that costs all that stuff you're paying. You know, time is money. And then do you run it back down the hole, or do I just leave it down there? Do I still have enough juice in that drill bit to keep pushing through the rock? Uh-huh. that's an oversimplification, of course, but
yeah.
So you have this real-time sensor data coming in, you have frac data coming in, and it's all about well design. Are you getting the best well, and is the cost okay? Are you holding on to what your budget so supposed to be? What the company has always kind of done, what the industry has done, is use physics-based models for things, such as not just your drilling completions, because you can calculate your torque and your rotation and all this kind of stuff, your RPMs on the drill bit, but also trying to maybe change just from the physics, go towards a data-driven approach. And so we're working on those kind of models as well. And really, how do we marry them together?
Yeah.
And that itself is a challenge. And
would the data-driven kind of replace the physics simulations, would you say? Or maybe they're used to married. How do you figure out? Yeah.
So on the drilling side, they have different names for the different models, and it's all towards just basically evaluating the performance. Where there's the big debate with a physics-based approach or a data-driven approach is kind of modeling your well performance, if you will. So after you've drilled the well and you turned it on, which means you're now producing, you're now getting oil out of the ground, what are we seeing? And so based on historical or physics, we know with certain kind of properties, or we have an idea, right, how the physics should work out. Certain kind of properties, rock properties, geological properties, and then you add the engineering variables. That's how did you complete the well? How many clusters did you put in? How many stages? So basically, what kind of fracking did you do? That's the engineering variables. And so how does that work? And is the oil we're seeing coming out, is that about what we expect? Mm-hmm. Where the data-driven approach is creating models now. So again, you have inputs such as the geological maps. And these are properties that are taken from the geologists. And then there's even more data with that kind of stuff. But you take those properties, and then you take your engineering variables. And so you have all these different kind of things, and then you can put in interactions. So let's just take real simply, your inputs are, like we mentioned, and your output is your recovery. How much oil are you getting out of the ground? And so you have X, you have Ys. You can imagine all sorts of things. You can start with a simple linear regression or multivariate regression. You can go to some tree-based thing. So these are all the machine learnings. And then really is, can you tie all the wells together? So I have a whole bunch of wells. They all have different completion variables. So I'm throw some statistics. I'm sampling over my param, I'm getting lots of different samples in my space. I'm seeing how the oil is producing. And so I can start creating my models and seeing how it all ties together.
This is one that you've worked a little bit on that one.
Yeah, right? So I'm a little passionate about that.
And so maybe we will come back to that one, because the plan is to have Vincent on again for a second episode for sure in the future for one of the normal episodes. And I think for the last part of this oil and gas specific second part, how about the industry as a whole, the oil and gas industry? How would you say data science and machine learning have been fitting in? Would you say it's kind of been slower in this industry? This is kind of a little bit of an impression I've gotten. What would you say most of the companies are looking into these things? Are they already there? Have they had them for 20 years?
I would say this kind of work, this applications of data science in the oil and gas industry is still young. Some companies are still giving pushback on it. And it just happens to be just what is their objective as far as the business initiatives go. Other companies have embraced it. You can make the analogy of like baseball or something, right? And everybody's kind of read these books and all this stuff. And so there's different ways of people just running their business and doing this. so just a matter of it, does it fit in to their goals, to their, would they have to report to their shareholders or whatever it is? So does it fit into their business model? And one thing is data, it's fitting in more and more, and there's finding places too. It's just to what extent is it really getting in there? Mm-hmm. I think that as data scientists keep fighting the good fight and working with the oil and gas industry, or really the energy industry, then it will grow because it is an industry with a lot of data, a lot of things that still can be learned. You know, I alluded to the completions. We don't really know what's downhole when we complete a well. When we take seismic,
well, can you explain that one a little bit more? What does that mean exactly?
So the completion is the fracking, if you will. So we don't know how much rock are we actually contacting, how much rock is being opened up or affected by the pumping of the fluid and mm-hmm. proppant mixture. Are we pumping where we're supposed to be pumping? So a lot of these things we don't know. We're kind of guessing here. We're inferring. There's another mm-hmm. statistical term. And even with the seismic thing, are we interpreting correctly? And when we drill wells, we're taking samples out of the ground as well. Are we piecing them together? And that's where you create your maps, your geological maps. Are we doing that properly? Are we interpreting that properly? So you're seeing all these things with data as sensors become better, as equipment becomes better, as streaming becomes better. There's going to be a fit for it. And you know, who knows, maybe one day there's autonomous self-drilling rigs.
Yeah.
Maybe we're following in the footsteps of Michael Bay and we're drilling on asteroids or something like that. So now you've thrown aerospace into the mix of drilling and completions.
Yep.
But it's I hope you don't have to pay for that the movie that reference there. I didn't mention the name, so
okay.
So it's data science as it's defined today is still new to oil and gas. I think there will be some pushback still. And I think there's still a lot of room for growth in oil and gas.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe the part of the pushback, like if I'm understanding what you're saying exactly, is like, how do you exactly sell it to like the executives maybe? And yeah, when you, it would be a pretty large expense to hire like a whole team of data scientists for years. And then how do you, maybe sell that and demonstrate the cost?
The big thing is, does it fit into the business objective? So I'm currently working in drilling completions, and our biggest thing is to drive cost down, time to drill down, and time to complete down, all this stuff. And also, how do we help improve safety?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big one because it is a dangerous industry. And so it's as we keep working on that, that's where, you know, so that's what happened with me was the drilling group saw the success that the company has had with other parts of the data analytics or predictive analytics, advanced analytics. And so they thought that this makes complete sense. We have a lot of operations, a lot of data coming in, a lot of things that maybe we can tackle. So it made sense in our drilling completions group to bring in some data science and mm-hmm. data engineering and all this stuff. And we've gained a lot of traction and we've won people over. So now we have champions, we have spokesmen and advocates, and it's catching on more and more. And you know, it's a full-time job. It keeps me busy all the time. And it's a matter of, hiring the right people to keep up with the work and learn about the industry.
All right. Well, with that, I would like to just say thank you one more time to Vincent here.
Thanks for having me.
Yep.
Appreciate it, Leo.
Uh-huh. And that's going to wrap up our first episode on the basics. From here on, the plan will be to interview a person for each episode and hear more some specific problems that people are working on around the company, as well as maybe some more stories of how people got into data scientists, how one can get into this field. And with that, I would just like to say thank you very much for joining and listening in today. Thank you.